This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
My worst nightmare. You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, Craig Button in here for the O-Dog. Jamie Noodles McLennan. The O-Dog is in Ottawa tonight with the panel. Game 3, Pens-Sens. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050.
On assignment.
He's on assignment. I think we need to send him down to Pittsburgh, because did you hear about this family that named their new baby Kessel Ryan Hillman?
I did hear that.
Named their baby boy after Phil Kessel.
Why not just Phil?
That's what I didn't understand. Like, why not Phil? Okay, Philip Ryan Hillman. That's cool. But why would you go with Kessel?
I don't know. So weird.
I mean, don't get it.
That's your guy.
And Phil's been in Pittsburgh for like a year and a half.
But he is a legend. He's becoming legendary status there. Like, I really believe that. Even when I was down there calling a game this year, like, the guys couldn't get enough talking about him. Like other guys, I sat down in Marc-Andre Fleury's stall, and all he did was talk about Kessel and how funny he was, and it was just so interesting to see. And I think I told you, Brian, that was last year, that the Pittsburgh trip. I went this year and last year where Phil was just night and day. I sat in his stall and talked to him and Haglin. Like, it was such a different atmosphere. I think for him, he didn't have to be the guy. There wasn't 80 microphones in front of him. We were just kind of BSing. He's like a different person down there, I think, or it's the same person, but he didn't let anybody know that in Toronto, because there was...
Well, and that's what's disappointing, is that what really set Kessel into a terrible position had nothing to do with him. It was Brian Burke trading 2 first-round picks for him.
Right.
That's what caused problems right off the bat. Had nothing to do with Phil. Nothing to do with Phil. But this was an organization that had a history of trading away picks and trying to expedite the process,
right.
And not take their time. And Burke came in thinking he could move heaven and earth.
Yep.
Signs Komisarek, signs Boschman, brings in Orr, and says, I'm going to make another deal because I think we're better than what other people believe.
Right.
And right off the hop, the team is brutal. In Phil's first year, they were the second worst team in the league, and Tyler Seguin goes to Boston.
A couple of things I'll add to that, though. First of all, Brian Burke wasn't brought in here to do a rebuild like Brendan Shanahan. He was brought in here to get them into the playoffs. So Brian did that. That's right. And Phil Kessel never missed a game for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and was one of the best goal scorers in the National Hockey League. I'll never blame Phil Kessel. He had a cruddy team around him. The environment wasn't good around him. And to me, Phil Kessel went to Pittsburgh, and keep this in mind, too. We talk about high-profile free agents. Phil chose Toronto.
Yeah, he did. He
chose
signed
Toronto.
Here long-term.
How many other guys have chosen Toronto?
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
That would be zero.
I kind of feel like maybe Toronto missed out on this affable, hey, let's have fun with Phil, because the team was so horrible, so no one was in the mood.
I agree.
And
Phil
understood he couldn't put forth that kind of a facade or that kind of an image because people would be like, dude, don't pretend like you're having fun. You're the worst team in the league.
Right.
Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our main man, live from Germany now. He's moved up the road a little bit. What's happening, Ray?
Not much. We are in Germany. That's different food, different... I don't know. It looks way different. I'm going to like this, too. It's a pretty good gig, this thing, you know?
Lots of potatoes in Germany.
They're on the menu, noodles. I had to work my way through that. I eat 14,000 croissants in France. So I'm like,
they're
okay,
so
I can't
good,
eat potatoes,
though.
But you're like, okay, if you've never traveled in Europe, you go to the hotel, they have the breakfast included. If I don't eat another croissant or another egg for the next 3 weeks or a cold cut, I'm going to be fine.
Man, do they love a cold cut in the morning, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, do they ever. And they're so good. But then you come here and they're like, it's not like you're going to find a salad and that's all you're eating. You're out and you've got, Kolsch is the the draft. It seems to be quite common. It seems to be working its way around our table. And you're like, so you have a couple of those, you have dinner, and then you're like, oh, man, I'm at it again. I need to come home and stop eating is what needs to happen.
I went to Germany in Munich, and we trained there for 4 days with the Russian team, the Magnitogorsk team. We weighed in every day. We were training 6 hours a day, three times on the ice, plus dry land in between. I didn't lose 1 pound because that's all. I just ate like I was going to the chair, and everything was so heavy. It was just potatoes and meats.
The meats are like there's a part of the intestine that I've never heard of before, and they serve that bad boy up with pride. I was not a fan. I was in Berlin 3 or 4 years ago. I found a Domino's real quick. Real quick. I was not feeling overly cultured at that point. Let's put it that way.
Well, we have, you know, one of the great Twitter follows is the UFO Wizard. And if you don't follow UFO Wizard, you should.
Yeah, he's great.
And so he's here as part of our crew. And so now he's got, we've got a good Wiener Schnitzel place. We've got to go to tomorrow night. He's got this all planned out because he's been here for a couple weeks, and none of it is, you know, let's go get a smoothie. I mean, this is not going to end well, is what I'm saying. There's just too many calories to be consumed over here.
Before this tournament, I honestly didn't think that UFO Wizard was a real person.
It is.
I just assumed it was some dummy account from a guy in, like, Toledo, Ohio.
It was the guy that played the piano at the World Junior Tournament.
I know that that's what they claim, but I didn't believe it was actually the guy.
He follows TSN around now because they made a hero out of him.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But I honestly just
his English is improving, right, Ray? Not bad?
It's getting a little better. Now, he told us when we asked him, we said, what's your name? He said, you call me Wizard. We're like, what? He's like, me, UFO Wizard. Okay, so we see him, we're like, hey, Wiz, how you doing?
Hey, Wiz. That's such a great short name. So condescending.
No, so I don't know if you've, like, but honestly, you should Twitter follow the UFO Wizard. He has a following of the Latvian fans over here. And there's a segment of them that came from Latvia in campers because they couldn't really afford the hotels. So they come to a campground, they drove their campers here. And he's got pictures on Twitter of these guys that they go hard for a 4 o'clock game. They're at the beer tent at 10 a.m. The game's at 4. What kind of shape do you think they're in by puck drop?
I know. Tessa Bonham on Twitter has taken a few pictures of these guys, like, passed out on the lawn and, like, at 7 o'clock at night, like, just on fire.
So the story I heard today was one of the guys went down. He had it off and he took a nap, and they couldn't wake him up for the game. So they took his ticket out of his pocket, his buddy's, and sold it. They were watching. He sold the ticket out of his buddy's pocket. So they got 20 euros and bought 4 more beers.
Classic.
That's a true friend right there. That's the kind of stuff that's the guy you want as a companion if you're on the road.
And they're like, he'll wake up. He'll be fine. We just need his ticket.
He wasn't coming anyway, so why let it go to waste? Exactly.
It's an unbelievable atmosphere, eh, Ray? I mean, you can't even describe it unless you go and experience it, right?
It's nothing like, well, first of all, tournament hockey to me is so much fun because the fans gather and everybody's, there's less edge than there is when you go to a playoff game where teams or fans are, you know, they're cheering of their team. Here it's like your country versus our country, but it's in a tournament setting, it just feels different. It's like a lowercase Olympics where everybody's there to have a good time. They hope their teams win. They cheer. Europe's different. It's a soccer culture, so they're singing and chanting, and it's really a lot of fun. I'm amazed by how many Canadians we've run into that are at the tournament, that were in Paris and that are at the games here in Cologne. They come and they have a great time. They make it part of their holiday.
Well, it's a great idea. It really is. And if you can go and hang out in Paris for a week or two and catch hockey games, I could see why people would decide to do that. I mean,
well, next year's in Copenhagen.
There you go.
One of the great cities in Europe, and that's where Canada will be, and we'll see a whole bunch of Canadians there for sure.
Well, also, I believe the most expensive city in Europe, so those Latvians, they might be taking a canoe to Copenhagen next year because it is so expensive in Denmark. But from a Canadian perspective, I mean, I haven't been able to catch all the games, but my understanding is Mitch Marner has been putting on a clinic, and I saw the first period yesterday, and wow, was he dancing, man. Like, how comfortable has Marner looked?
Well, it's funny. Canada's really been searching through the tournament for cohesion or for consistency to their team. And they've changed all their forwards around. Every game, it seems, John Cooper's changing the lines. The one line that stays together, hasn't changed since the very first game, is Konechny. Travis Konechny plays the left, Braden Point's in the middle, and Marner's on the right. And they've been Canada's best line. It, not even close. Konechny's got 7 assists. Point has 4 goals. And Marner's got 9 points, 4 goals and 5 assists. Last night, he was amazing. And he's got the puck. He's got room. You know, they can't quite corner him anywhere. So he just kind of zips around the ice, and it's like he does whatever he wants. I'm amazed that he's 20 years old. And that he can do this. Like, he's Canada's, I mean, MacKinnon has got the most points, but Marner's Canada's most dangerous forward in this tournament so far. It's been really something to watch. Now, last night in the game, late in the third period, he got a high stick and his front tooth basically got sawed in half. He lost half his tooth. So he's back at the bench and he's in pain, but he's also really mad. And he turns around and he's telling, I think it's Claude Giroux, but it's Alex Killorn for sure. He turns around to show them why he's so mad. He's got half his tooth missing. And this is typical hockey player, just the way guys are. They start to laugh. Because I'm sure he's like, look at my tooth. And they just start to laugh. And I know one of them said, you can barely tell. And like, his tooth is like carved in half. So like, when he gets back, he's going to have to go to the dentist and get a new tooth. And I don't... You know, Noodles, like,
yeah.
As soon as you know the guy's okay, then yeah. It's kind of funny. And you're like, no, really, you look good. You can't even tell.
Guys,
like,
are ruthless.
His mom's watching on TV, and she must be horrified. Like, look at my son's tooth. It's like, it's half missing.
Well, the big story over here yesterday was Kessel and Malkin yelling at each other on the bench, and... Mike Sullivan was asked about a postgame. Like, is that a situation where you go to them the next day and try to figure it out? And he actually handled that question very diplomatically. But I was thinking he probably wanted to say, are you new at this? Like, yeah, I go to Phil. I call him in the morning to make sure he's okay. And then we go for coffee and we talk about what's bothering him.
Yeah.
Like, it's the cameras. Like, I think Sullivan pointed out, there's so many cameras on the bench. Guys yell at each other all the time. I
mean, they do.
Right? Like, don't they, Ray? I'm sure you were yapping at teammates back in your day and vice versa.
Well, somebody sent me a video, like a 20-minute video of our series against Pittsburgh in 93. And in that series, there was a play that happened where in game five, Al Arbour, our coach, moved the face-off alignment around behind me. I don't know why I wasn't paying attention. I didn't notice. Ronnie Francis shot the puck forward. Joey Mullen got a breakaway and scored. So I went back to the bench and I was like, where was everybody? I was yelling down at the defense and Al said, you know, that he changed the alignment. And I'm like, well, why that? You know, I swore. Why they, you know, what was, did you do that? And so like, I'm yelling at the coach and then all of a sudden he lost it. And he was just giving it to me. And, of course, I lost the argument. And, you know, I didn't really have a choice. But my point is, the intensity of the playoff is so great, sometimes it just happens. And then it's over. It's finished. Nobody cares. I mean, you care, but it's like it's done. That guy wants to do well. I want to do well. You had an argument, and it's finished. It's not like The Office, where You can't do that. What happens during the game or in the room is probably not acceptable to many people. And there's that, you know, that great line from A Few Good Men, you know, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. Right. People want to know what's going on. And then they find out and they're like, they're kind of appalled. Like, well, you know, should Kessel have gone, hey, I was kind of open there, should you pass it to me? No, it doesn't happen that way.
And Ray, it can't happen that way. I mean, you just touch it. It's intense. It's in the moment. It's happening. And you nailed it, in my view. Everybody's trying to win.
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah. Mike Sullivan called it a man's conversation. And if you can't handle the truth, well, you're not going to be part of winning.
Well, remember in the last series where Derek Stepan went back to Lundqvist. Lundqvist had lost his mind on Brady Shea. And so Stepan, you know, what are you going to do, waiting for the period to be over? He goes back and tells them to relax. And then it's a big deal. Oh, he showed him up. No, he didn't. He went back and told him to zip it because what was he going to do, yell from the bench? He wouldn't have heard. Went back there. He gave him the settle down side. That was pretty much it. It's really not, in my opinion, anywhere close to a big deal.
Well, and then Kessel goes out there and scores the winner, courtesy right. of Malkin. Like, you know, and Phil was going up the middle of the ice, and it sure felt like, you know, he was pointing, like, you got to go up the middle of the ice, right? You got to go. And then he's up the middle of the ice, but and Gino hits him.
I want to jump in here, too, and I want Ray and Craig to weigh in. If Ottawa wins that game 1-0, we said this yesterday on our show, the whole narrative is that Kessel and Malkin argument because, oh, the team doesn't get along and Crosby's out. Like, to me, he absolved everything because he scored the game-winning goal, and now it's funny. But if they end up losing and Kessel ends up -1 on the game-winning goal, everyone's talking about how a bad teammate he is and you can't win with this guy. Like, or not that you can't win, but he won last year. But the different narrative shapes out of it.
The narrative from people that haven't been in there.
Right, exactly.
Well, Pittsburgh won the Cup in 91 and 92. And I will tell you, from my experience, I've never heard a bench argue more than those guys. We would be sitting there listening to them, and the defense would be yelling at the forwards, you know, to come back in their zone, and the forwards would be yelling down at, like, Ulf and Shel Samuelson and Larry Murphy, maybe if you guys could put a puck on our stick, we'd come down. Like, they'd be screaming at each other. They won back-to-back Stanley Cups. That's how it worked. Nobody took it personal. Nobody got their feelings hurt. And they sorted it out however they did, and then they went out and won. And that's the way that there's just no time a lot of times to have a discussion about the play. Yep. And so you lash out, you say something, and then it's over. And then you go to your next shift. And that's just the way communication works a lot of times.
We were discussing the fact that Mike Babcock was in Nashville last night watching that Preds-Ducks game, and he was over in Europe as well early on in the World Hockey Championship scouting. And I mentioned how I think he deserves credit. Now, he's getting paid a lot of money, and this was always a part of the program. We always understood he would be pretty heavily involved. But you have to believe, connecting some dots here, he's thinking, get me to Anaheim, because if we can possibly trade for one of their defensemen, let me see them live. You know, them being a Western Conference team and him not having the ability to do that very often. And, Craig, you said it's a great idea. You know, if he's the guy who's going to determine how often these guys play. But conventionally speaking, I don't recall coaches kind of hitting the rubber and getting out there themselves and really scouting. But Babcock seems to be taking it upon himself to at least have a voice in the room. What do you make of that?
I think it's part of what's a more collaborative effort by the way they run their front office as opposed to the way front offices were run 5 and 10 years ago, even. You know, that, you know, when Babs was signed, there was going to be more player personnel input. You know, the buck stops at Lou for making a deal. But, you know, Babcock's over here. He's watching players. He, you know, now, you mentioned the Anaheim stuff. He's watching players there. All it is more information, more collection of information. You're right. Most coaches don't have that kind of power, don't have that kind of input into their team. And I'm not surprised, because he's also said in the past that everybody steals from everybody else. So if he's watching that series and he's watching, I don't know, maybe it's Montour, maybe it's Theodore, maybe it's Fowler. No, it's probably not Fowler. They're not going to give him up. But it's maybe it's Vatanen, maybe it's Lindholm, one of those Anaheim guys. He's also watching the way they play. And if he can steal an idea or steal a thought and maybe implement it into their team, well, that's how you evolve. And as much as I look at Mike sometimes and I think he's such an old school guy, I think he's a really progressive thinker. He's always looking for the next way, the best way, the better way. And I think that's one of the reasons he's the type of coach he is.
Well, and Ray, just from my perspective, if you're trading for an NHL player, I want my coach involved in that, because you know how you're gonna how are you gonna use him, Mike? Now, Mike watching him, not only just with the ideas but the specific player, I don't see any downside to that.
No, I mean, what else is he doing? Like at this time of year, what else is your coach doing? There's nothing else for him to do. So if you've zeroed in on a player, then to go watch, of course, why not? I think this probably, as I'm thinking of it, I think this probably happened a little bit in the past. We know more about everything now. Mm-hmm. You know, a guy could get in, watch a game, and get out, and probably people wouldn't even notice before. But, you know, Mike's a pretty easy guy to find. And when he's in a building, the word gets around pretty quick.
Well, exactly. One picture, one tweet, and then 1,000 retweets, and we know of it up here in Toronto. And yeah, that's exactly what happened. Some, I think it was a media guy who spotted him, took a pic, said, hey, Mike Babcock's down here. And he's probably thinking, this is cool, he wants to see the game. But yeah, people in Toronto are like, no, who's he scouting? Like, who's he got his eye on?
Right.
Right. It's not, he's not down there just to drink beers and go to Tootsie's afterwards. He's clearly there to do something. Anyway, good catching up with you, buddy. Enjoy yourself over there. Everything seems to be rolling pretty well.
Yeah, it's things are good. We're having a great time, but it is getting close to, okay, it's time to come home. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can be in the greatest place in the world, you got to get home. I miss home, and we get home on Monday, and then back to the routine right through to the draft.
How was the soccer experience in England?
Oh, it was outstanding. So my 10-year-old Riley was over. He played. They played in England for a week and in Italy for a week, and I got to zip into Milan to watch him play for a couple of games, and it was outstanding. They had literally a trip of a lifetime. They had so much fun.
Do they do orange peels in Milan? Like at half? I feel
at
like
half,
they come
no,
out
they...
with like something more elaborate than that.
Spaghetti.
Had a plate of pasta, rolled a couple of meatballs around to the back.
Caprese salad.
Yeah, exactly. A 7-course meal at half.
Well, yeah, it's funny, like all the parents, they got home yesterday, and so they're all on a big chat, and everybody said, I'm not eating for a week. I put on 6 pounds. Everybody went there, and they did nothing but drink red and eat. And they're like, man, I got to get home and lose some weight. They had a great time.
I can imagine. Enjoy, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week, and we'll be back at it regularly on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Perfect. Looking forward to it.
Later, boys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. As the World Hockey Championships continue, Canada moving up to Germany, Cologne, Germany, and they play the Germans tomorrow.
Should be a great atmosphere in there. Really should be, I'll tell you. You know, Germany found a way to get into the medal round, and it'll be a great environment. Like, Ray, you heard Ray talk about tournament play and the fans and everything. It'll be a great environment in there for that game.
And Dreisaitl's got to be the German Gretzky, doesn't he?
Oh, I would think so.
Like, what other German player has hit the ground running the way that Dreisaitl has? Third overall pick.
Marco Stern.
Well, he didn't hit the ground running. He had some growing pains, and they handled him. They had him down in the minors. They sent him back to Kelowna. He's emerged, and he's a great example of, you know what, you got to help players, you know, develop and get comfortable. And I keep telling people in Edmonton, have him be there. Don't worry about Puljujärvi. You watch Dreisaitl, don't worry. He'll be just fine. He's not Line A, but Dreisaitl, his record's there.
Yeah. That's interesting, because we all saw the breakout right in front of our eyes, but there has been a process there for him. It's just we didn't really focus on that process until the end result right now, and he's a hell of a player and going to continue that. But that gives also a lot of hope to some of the young guys here with the Marlies. I mean, if you're talking Toronto Maple Leafs and their system and some of the young guys, like there's going to be a couple guys that push for jobs next year. You know, we were talking yesterday. We had a good debate about the three top players or top young guys for the Maple Leafs, and they're not done growing yet either as players.
No.
So that's what's interesting when you look around the league. Like we saw it right in front of our eyes because we watched every one of the Leaf games. I watch a lot of games, so you look around the league. But I can't wait to see, you know, what Carolina's doing, what Buffalo's doing, like what the Maple Leafs are doing, what Edmonton's doing, these young teams that are kind of trying to – that have broken down and go and get into that next level. They want to be Pittsburgh. They want to be Chicago. They want to be L.A. That's the growth of these players.
Yeah. Game three tonight, Penn Sens. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Jerry's percentages. Jerry was on the road, so we called in his hot takes. And I might have a couple I want to add to the rotation.
Oh, yeah?
We'll get to Jerry next. All right, Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst at 6 p.m., some injury news. Doesn't sound like Donaldson will be back this weekend, and John Gibbons even admitted they kind of jumped the gun last time around, bringing him back too quickly. And
that's not good.
No, it's not good, and Tulowitzki will not be playing tonight and more than likely won't play tomorrow either. So Tulowitzki won't join the team until the weekend.
Yeah. Well, at least they're cautious with him, not with the superstar.
With the bringer of rain?
The bringer of rain. Like, that did sniff a little bit weird. Like, he's coming back and pull the brakes. Like, you got to make sure this guy's 100%.
Yeah, you do now. Because it seems that he was coming back and then he was just re-aggravating the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, which tells you that it's deeper and, hey, give it time because, I mean, it goes without saying they're a much better team with him in the lineup.
Exactly.
You can play that card once.
Yeah.
Hey, let's try to push it a little bit here. When it burns you,
right,
you're naturally going to be more cautious. So Steve will join us in about a half an hour. Jerry's percentages. Craig, you've played Jerry's before, right?
Yeah, I think this year my record is like impeccable.
Really?
I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Whoever sends out the Jerry's percentages, I'm not on all the time. But I've been pretty good this year.
You probably win a lot.
Last year wasn't so good.
You're a logical guy. You win a lot.
It's a very logical game.
Yeah. Especially on the percentages, 27%.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken. From two people to 300, let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking for you. 942 the Queensway, bestpc.ca.
I got to go there. I'm half
Portuguese. You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's Percentages.
No, keep the booing.
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, so Jerry sometimes will fly up and actually produce these hot takes in studio, so it sounds more professional. But today he's on the road, naturally. He's a busy guy.
Yeah.
So we had to get him over the phone. And when that happens, you really never know what you're going
to
get.
I would love to see the scene of him taping that. Because he taped one, I think, remote last time, was it not?
Yeah, he's taped them in his car before.
In his car.
You're right, actually. During the Leaf playoff run, we were at Sportcheck, and Jerry had to call in his hot takes.
Was screaming away.
And that caused Sportcheck some business because there was a lunatic yelling in a weird voice about, I don't even remember what the hot takes were at that particular time. But anyway, so Jerry's called in, and he also sent me an email. He's got a couple of other ones he wants to throw out. But he didn't have time to actually record them. So we'll get to those at the back end, okay? Let's hit it.
Game three tonight between the Penguins and Senators will feature at least five goals.
Jerry loves goals. That last game in Pitt was a pile of
This is what happens when Jerry gets out of the studio. You can't, you can't control where he's going to go with it. But he's calling at least a combined five goals tonight in this game.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
89%. I think there's going to be some goals tonight. I really do. I don't have a rhyme or reason. I just believe Ottawa's going to try and play that style, but I think Pitt's going to have some goals. I'm with you.
I think goals are coming. Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit lower than you just because of what we saw throughout the first
Ottawa
two games.
Ottawa did clamp them pretty good.
And I think Ottawa will continue to do that, but I think Pittsburgh will likely break out. I think Sid and Carlson are going to have a night. Those two have been really quiet, way too quiet in terms of the offensive numbers. I think they break out. The power plays break out a bit tonight. Not quite as high as you, but not far off. I'll say 75%.
10%.
Wow. You think it's going to be a tight one again?
Hey, listen, you hear Guy Boucher? We're not changing.
Bobby Ryan,
we're not changing. And I don't think the Penguins can change because of their blue line. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair.
But don't you think that blue line could get exposed? Although Daly may return tonight, Mark Streit might return tonight.
I don't think they want to expose it, though. I think Ottawa's very comfortable. Hey, we'll play a low-scoring game.
Right.
There's been four goals in two games scored. Now there's going to be 5-1. I'm not buying it.
That's what Jerry's saying.
I was ready to go zero, but I'll go 10%.
Really? Okay, you're leaving the
door
open
a little bit.
Four
goals in two games.
I hear you.
Nashville will outshoot Anaheim in every game of this series. And Randy Carlyle will scratch his temple clean off his head. Full out Scrabble face, Randy.
Through three games, Nashville has outshot Anaheim in all three. Last night, I believe it was 40-20.
Yeah.
And Jerry's saying every single game, Nashville will outshoot Anaheim.
No.
And Randy Carlyle will scratch his temple off
that
his
one was
face.
Just an added,
so what are we betting on
bonus.
Here?
That one was just an added bonus at the end.
Okay.
He's saying that Nashville will outshoot them every single game.
I'm going to say 27%. Anaheim's going to have a game. I was just talking about them ramping it up. It may not be in Nashville, but it could be back in Anaheim.
Yeah. 60%.
It's an interesting one.
Anaheim generates a lot of opportunities, and their defense get in there, and they don't play back. They get after it, and you think about the goals last night.
Yeah.
The first goal, by Forsberg, the puck comes, Ellis directs it towards net, it kicks out to Forsberg goal.
Right.
Then the winning goal at the net kicks out to Josi. It's over. So they're always trying to push the puck to the net. So I 60%.
Yeah, I kind of think Nashville will continue this trend. The history of the two teams, and especially recently, I'm going to go a little bit higher than that. I'll go back to 75%.
There you go.
75%.
With Lonzo Ball likely ending up with the Lakers, the big baller brand will continue to sell shoes for at least another 10 years. Jerry's a big baller, the biggest baller.
So Jerry's a big baller, the biggest baller, but he's also citing that with Lonzo Ball likely ending up with the Lakers, as a result, the big baller brand will continue to manufacture shoes and sell them for at least the next 10 years.
I don't know. So we got to wait 10 years to. For
I guess
Jerry's
this is a long
through.
One to track.
This isn't real. I'm going to say 7%. I think this Lonzo Ball character is a jackass, and his son...
LeVar Ball's the jackass.
I'm sorry. LeVar Ball, not Lonzo. He's just the son who's a really good player. But I think the dad is going to be a detriment, and he may just divorce himself from that situation.
That's why I say 0%, because really? I think the divorce is inevitable, and I think when it happens, Lonzo's going to say, take that big baller brand...
And get the hell out of here.
I'm moving on to bigger and better things. Nike, Under Armour, whatever. So 0%.
Bingo, I'm with you. 0% because of Adidas and Nike and Under Armour and all those ones. Like, good luck trying to compete against them. You got no chance. And when they decide they want to squish you, you'll be squished.
Yeah. Good call.
The Leafs' big three of Matthews, Marner, and Nylander will combine for over 180 points next season. Noodles can take his other three-pack teams and shove them directly up his ass.
Jerry's getting a little bit aggressive here, but that's an interesting take because we had a conversation yesterday about the Leafs' big three.
Did they have 180 points this year?
They did.
Well, Jerry's per se, way to go way out there.
I got a feeling this guy's going to go low. I think he's going low.
I said this to you before. I think if Austin Matthews gets 70 points next year, maybe it's 30 and 40. It may not be 40 goals, but maybe it's 40 assists and 30. Yeah. He's still going to get points. Mitch Marner's still going to get points. William Nylander's still going to get points. I'm just not convinced. We had this, you know, we had this other argument about this. They're still point getters, and they're still great players. They're going to get points. So 180,
will they hit
60.
180? So on average, they each get the 60 points.
I'm going 100%.
Yeah, I'm going to be high on that because one of them's going to get more than. Like, I think one guy could get 75 and one guy could get 50 and the other guy could get 60. So
yeah, I agree with you.
There's no reason to believe that they can't get that. I'll take a little off for injury. And I'm not going to bank on that, but you have to be realistic that, you know, these guys were outside of Marner missing a couple games. They were pretty fortunate to play all the games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go 82% only because of the unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, I go points per game, like to factor in the injury. So whether they get 180 total or they, because of injury, they average that over the course of the year. I'm going 100%.
Okay. Well, if you go,
I think they're too good and they get too many
opportunities. That's, that's a caveat.
No, but it's not a caveat. I just think that injuries, I can't control injuries.
You're right.
Yeah, you can't bank. So taking injuries out. Let's presume for the sake of arguments, they each play 82 games.
Then I'm at 100% too. If they were fortunate enough to stay healthy, there's no reason to believe that they are going to take a step back on points. I think their goals and points will change a little bit, but it doesn't mean
their numbers will fluctuate. But I'm at 100% too. But I'm surprised by that, Noodles, because yesterday you were saying you think at least one of them will be due to kind of
to have a dip, but it doesn't mean that the other one. It doesn't, like I say,
like you said, 75.
I think
50.
One could go to 75 and one could go to 50, but it's still going
to
maximize.
Equal out
like I
to
think
more
it'll all average out at 60 each.
Well, I think the Leafs would sign up for 180 in a heartbeat.
I think anybody would because it's not going to. Those guys are good players. Our argument was different about three packs throughout the league, and I think a lot of teams believe they have. Close outside of Matthews, close to what the other guys bring. That was my argument. That's a different one.
That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
All right, so we're all at 100%.
Yeah.
The Spurs and Celtics will win a combined 2 games in the conference finals.
Well, it's already 2-0 Golden State over San Antonio. Game 1, Celts, Cavs tonight in Boston. But Jerry's saying between the two, Spurs and Celts, they will win at least 2 games. What are the chances?
Oof. Jeez, I think it's low.
I'm real low on this.
Yeah, like I'll go 8%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm 10.
I got to be around the same ballpark because I'm not sure San Antonio. I still think they can get a game. I think they can get a game if Kawhi Leonard returns. If Leonard's out, like last night, Golden State won by 36.
Yeah, it's
like it's not even close. It's kind of embarrassing. Like Popovich. Afterwards, you know, he said, I was surprised at my team's reaction, and it had felt to me like they thought like they couldn't win without Kawhi. No kidding.
Yeah.
They can't win without Kawhi, and I'm not sure they can win with Kawhi. There are two teams that actually matter in the NBA, Golden State and Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's it. Golden State is 10-0 in the playoffs. 10-0. And Cleveland's 8-0. The only reason why they're not 10-0 is because they've been waiting for Boston and Washington to decide who's going to get smoked by them. So I'm real low, too. I'll go 5%. 5%.
5-8-10.
Josh Donaldson will finish the season with the team lead in home runs.
That's not hard. Nobody can hit a goddamn home run.
It's an interesting one because he's not going to return this weekend. So you got to consider he keeps missing time. Justin Smoke currently leading the team in home runs. Listen, you got Bautista who's starting to heat up a little bit.
Right.
Pilar's hit some home runs. But I kind of feel like even if Donaldson misses another 10 games, and let's say he plays 110 games.
Right.
Can he get 25? I think he probably can. I think he can get close, and I'm not sure any of these guys hit more than 25 home runs.
Yeah, that's...
So I'm going to go 51%.
Oh, yeah.
Just into the majority
little,
that Donaldson...
A little bit of a stretch, yeah.
Ends up with the team lead.
I'm going 60% that he does. Because, you know, he plays June, July, August, September.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he can do it. And one thing about, I mean, listen, he's a top player.
Yes, I'll go 80%. I'm worried about his health, though.
I really am too.
I'm worried about his health.
I am too. Now, he's already got 2 in the bank. So he had 2 through his first 9 games. Smoke has 8. Morales has 7. Morales and Bautista could make a push
right
for 30 plus. And Morales, if he stays healthy, but he's had injury problems. But Donaldson at two already, if he plays another 100 games, 110 games, he's going to hit a lot of bombs,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we got a couple more that Jerry wanted me to send in. I think we have time for this.
Sure.
Jerry's percentages. Tom Brady goes public supporting his wife and saying, yes, I actually did suffer a concussion last year.
0%.
Yeah.
0%?
0%.
I think you have to leave the door open a little bit that his wife is going to say, you're really going to throw me under the bus here.
He
doesn't have to say anything.
That's
the other thing. Either he says something or he does. He doesn't. It's either it's a yes or a no. I'm saying 100% no. I'm 100% no.
I think he is. He's had a conversation with her. Belichick. I'm not lying. I believe Belichick was waiting at their house when she got home from that
interview. CBS this morning. And outing Brady for having a concussion this year and saying he deals with concussions quite often.
Because you know it's becoming a massive story.
It's a huge story because the Pats have this history of being cheaters anyway, and if he suffered a concussion and they knew about it and they didn't list it on the injury report,
that's a
greasy move. It's such a Belichickian move. You know?
I don't know why I'm laughing. Like that's the Patriots and they're not shy.
They don't care. And the truth is, it doesn't matter anymore because he still played. He won a Super Bowl.
Right.
He's going to keep playing. This is what I said earlier. Giselle wants him to leave the game. And yeah. Brady can't stop telling people he's going to play for another decade. So, you know, that says basically all you need to know. But I do think there's a chance at some point, I'll go 5%. Okay. 5% that he admits, you know what, yes, I had something that maybe resembled a concussion or it wasn't fully diagnosed. He's not going to out the team. He's not going to sue the team or the medical staff.
He may come out and say
I had
a headache one day and she misunderstood that as a concussion. It's going to be a concocted statement, even if he speaks. I doubt he's going to speak.
Yeah.
I think what he's going to come out and say is that she hit me.
She caused him to suffer. Yeah,
exactly.
Steve Phillips in about 20 minutes. I've got another Jerry's that maybe I'll bring up. It's another one that's quite offside. And Jerry, actually, it turns out he recorded it, but it didn't pass the terrestrial radio test. It was about Antonio Cromartie. And
somebody said to me last night that he had another child. I said, so what's that, 9?
Yeah.
And he said, no, 14.
14.
No, but I was like going, like, last count, it was 8. Like,
Craig, he had a vasectomy 4 kids ago. He's had 4 post-vasectomy.
And like Paulter said,
I don't think
this
vasectomy is a good.
This guy beat the vasectomy 4 times.
Right. He's the champion. Steve Phillips in 15 minutes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Don't forget, O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament, September 23rd at Woodbine. Visit TSN1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. For every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds going to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. Steve Phillips in about 10, 15 minutes. Game 3 tonight, Penn sends. I'm hoping for more offense. I'm hoping for a more entertaining game. But
you guys
it's
aren't
not
sniffing
on
it,
Ottawa
though,
to do it. So Ottawa's going to do whatever they want to do and do whatever they can to try to pick up a win.
You know what that game reminded me of the other night? The 2000 World Junior Gold Medal match. 1-0 Czechs won in a shootout. The whole game was played with both teams backing up.
Really?
That's all they did. Backed up the whole game.
Well,
that's interesting.
For the sake of viewers at home, myself included, I hope that doesn't end up happening tonight. We'll get back into that. We'll tee it up in the final hour. Dallas Aikens will join us and Steve Phillips as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.